Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Laura Briner is an American country rock artist who continues to rise as one of the most exciting voices in today's music scene. Known for her powerhouse vocals, larger-than-life presence, and raw emotional storytelling, Laura blends bold country roots with pop and rock influences to create music that feels both timeless and fresh. In 2025, Laura released the singles Blue Jean Crazy, Painkiller, Rise, which is a collaboration with genre-defying artist Common Tribe, as well as the exciting remix of Painkiller by global DJ producer Sam Felt. This positions Laura at the forefront of the rising country EDM crossover movement. Laura's live performances are just as powerful as her music. She has performed at the CMA, LA Pride, a MLS game in Columbus, Ohio, at SXSW, Live in the Vineyard Goes Country in Napa, and also on NBC's Today in Nashville and ABC's Good Morning Nashville. Besides Laura's country rock work, every holiday season she becomes Miss Christmas, and in 2022 made a new holiday classic with her holiday pop song Wishlist, which dominates the holiday charts and radio waves every holiday season. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Laura Briner. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am great. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And you know what? Actually, I've had to think about where I am. I travel so much, living this dream. It's so great. But right now I'm in Los Angeles.
So I'd like your observation on this. So a lot of people on the outside of the entertainment world or fans or observers, they think it's a glamorous life, you know, all hotels, all these kind of things. But it's not that glamorous because you guys are traveling in and out of hotels, bus, trains, automobiles, different time zones. For you and your experience in the space, how do you balance your mind and energy and your body for all the different things that are happening?
You know, you really have to love it. Honestly, you know, it is a lot of travel. It's a lot of hotels. It's a lot of airports. It's a lot of different things. And for me, I mean, like even sitting here, yes, I have my nice jacket on, but I have my slippers on too. The glory of Zoom, you know, here we are. But yeah, you know, God, you really do appreciate your own toilet and your own bed when you get home. You're just like, oh, this feels so good. But, you know, you really do. You have to love it. And, you know, for me, it's so great to get to see different parts of the world, different parts of the country, and get to see my Briniacs. We don't call them fans. We're a big family. So it's great to be able to interact one-on-one, see the fans, see the people that really support this dream. I mean, they ain't no dream without them. So I just love it.
Okay, now let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this world, creating this dream. And how did that journey progress?
Oh, it's been a great journey. You know, there's always ups and downs and ebbs and flows and a lot of learning to do. I guess really, to tell you the truth, it was really when I could open my mouth that I really knew. I was like, oh, this is something fun. Like there was my sisters and I, we were dancing in our basement thinking we were like the best thing going. Charging my parents, I think it was like 25 cents a show. Sometimes they saw the show three times or four times a day. I think my dad was like, I can't do this anymore. We've got to figure this out. But I was the lead singer and my sisters were my backup dancers and all of that. But really, it just, I kind of just knew I wanted to touch people's heart. I wanted to make them smile and I wanted to make them feel something. And I love that music brings people together. It's very healing. My brother suffered a brain aneurysm when he was a teenager. And, you know, we're a lot of mixed marriages, deaths, divorces. So we're all over the place and age and different things. And so I would see him going to the, or he was at the hospital with his brain aneurysm, and my mom and I would go every day with my mom and we would go and visit him. And so I got to see the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I got to listen to good songs on the way there because I'm in the middle of nowhere, Maryland, driving to Washington, D.C. every day to the children's hospital there. And And it was country music that got us through that. It was the songs about pain and suffering, but yet there were things that were fun and uplifting and those kind of things. So it just was like, this is something I need to be a part of. This got me through that. And I learned how to give back through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And my brother was a recipient and he turned it down because he said, you know what? I'm getting better. Why don't you give this to somebody who needs it? And to me, that's been something that's so important. And my parents too, is to give back and help those less fortunate, whether it's through a song or maybe it's stuffing envelopes or granting a child's wish or whatever it may be. I love the military over here in the U.S. They let me live this dream every day. So I do a lot with them and I've done USO tours. I've done a lot of different shows and things around the country overseas. So, to me, I love giving back. And that's what makes me love artists even more, you know, the ones that give back and the ones that know where they came from.
How did observing, seeing Make-A-Wish Foundation, observing and feeling and experiencing and allowing the music to penetrate, you know, when your brother was in the hospital, that lead to the next steps of you becoming professional and driving into that path? What were those steps?
Well, you know, I got into songwriting and, you know, I'm getting more and more into it. And I think as an artist, you experience so many different things and that's what you write about. I mean, life experiences or watching life go by too. There's different things. I feel sometimes I'm like, what is it, a voyeur? Like looking at people's life thing. And I got my notepad. I have a notepad next to the toilet. I got one in my car, in my purse. I got it next to my hairdryer, which obviously I love. I mean, the bigger the hair, the closer to God. That's also with tall shoes, but, you know, I'm only 5 foot. But I'll tell you about that in a second. Actually, we'll go there now. We were doing a national anthem for one of the big soccer teams here, the MLS with Columbus. And we were coming to the game and I walked out for sound check. And the lady was so cute. She was like, oh, we're so excited to have you here. But, oh, and I was like, oh, and she was like, well, we just thought you were so much taller. And I'm like, well, looks can be deceiving. <It's> like, to me, like with the songwriting process, I, you know, having been involved in the military, writing songs for, I co-wrote a song for the Air National Guard and their advertising program to let people know what these heroes are doing. Or then I also co-wrote a song about the Make-A-Wish Foundation and that experience and granting wishes, stuffing envelopes, making phone calls, you know, all those different things. And actually there's even with the video, there's all those kids are Make-A-Wish kids. So, but that was one of my stipulations. I wanted to make sure that we represented the foundation well. And, you know, this is a true thing. These are real kids with big dreams. I mean, here I am living my dream. These kids should be living their dream too. So that's what I co-wrote that song. And it's really resonated with people, which is so amazing. You know, as a songwriter, you just have no idea. When you come up with songs or different things, you're like, do you think people are going to like this? I don't know. And you're like, just like, I don't know. And you're like letting it all hang out. I mean, it's just you're taking a chance. And as my parents said, you know, you're never one to sit there and, you know, play it safe. Yeah, I always take chances. I always take risks. So, because why not?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you? Life's too short.
How do you create a song?
Well, you know what? I love to collaborate with different people. I love getting different ideas. And like sometimes, I know it's funny, people will say, what comes first? Is the melody or the lyrics? It can be anything. I mean, some songs we say could write themselves in 45 minutes and one we're just like, oh, it takes all day or we got to come back to it or, oh, but you know, or then it comes to you in a sleep and like in the middle of the night, oh, wait, but it's this. So it just all depends. But I love collaborating with other songwriters and we all bring different things to the table. So it just really all depends. It's like, for me, there's been no real formula that, we're going to do it this way.
You referenced that you collaborate with a bunch of different songwriters and artists. When you are collaborating with someone new that you've never collaborated with before, does it take you a moment to get used to their energy and, you know, them in the room? Or do you just dive straight in and say, let's go?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I mean, you kind of got to feel the room and see, okay, how does this person work? Or even with me, like, okay, you know what, maybe I'm feeling this. And what's great is I love challenging myself. I think that's what's great about working with different people. I'm not always, I mean, I love working with the collaborators that I always work with, but then it's also fun to challenge yourself with new people because then you're sitting there, okay, what is the energy? ooh, do they like to work this way or do they like to work that way? You know, within the first like half hour, you're like, all right, this is our vibe. This is how we're gonna work it, or let's figure out the verse, let's figure out the chorus. You know, it just all depends. Everybody does it differently. But yeah, I love challenging myself. I love learning. I think that's what life is all about. And especially being in this industry, you gotta learn. You can sleep when you're dead. There's always stuff to be learning. And I love to surround myself with people who are better than me or who challenge me or who bring out the best in me.
Now, you've got collaborations coming out or have had this year with Common Tribe and a remix with Sam Felt. So how did these collaborations come to be? And tell us the stories behind them.
Sam Felt, I'm so excited. This was Painkiller was a song that we wrote. It's Cambo and Uncle Lily, as he likes to be called, and Maya. We all got together and there we were. We were sitting there with this song and also Lisa, who was actually offsite when we were writing Painkiller. You know, it's one of those things where when you feel like you have something, you're just like, it's kind of like that aha moment. You're like, oh, I think I have something here. God willing, everybody else thinks so. It just, and then how it turned out, and Cambo and Uncle Lily, they produced the song. And afterwards, we're just like, this needs like a remix. It has that feel. And gosh, Sam Felt only does a couple remixes a year. You know, the worst thing is anybody can say no. You just throw it out there and stick it, hope it sticks to the wall. And somebody says, I love it, or I like it. And he couldn't believe it, but he loved it. And he was like, I want to work on this. And you're just like, and you kind of want to do this like with your eyes. You're like, oh, are you sure? You do? You really do? I mean, and he's so accomplished. I mean, God, I mean, what a monster artist. I just absolutely incredible. So I just, it's kind of one of those pinchy moments. I can't even believe that he wanted to do it. It is so fabulous. I love this remix. And it, you know, it's funny. It takes Painkiller to a whole nother level. Like, here's the one song. You know, the normal one. And then here's a whole nother version that it's a completely different song, but it's still the same song. So that's really amazing. And so Common Tribe, I wanted to do a collaboration and I love him. He is such a phenomenal artist too. He's got this soulful, gritty voice and just you feel everything that he sings. It's just, Although we've talked about, we want to do a fast song together too. He's like, I want to do some great outlaw country with you too. And I was like, all right, I'm down for that too. But this is one of those songs that I love, sassy attitude and a little edgy and all, like, I love those kind of songs. But when I take a ballad, I like to strip it down. I like to show another side of me then. Okay, I can take a sensitive topic. I can take something emotional. And I can pull at somebody's heartstrings, or I can. And Rise is a song where, you know, there's a lot of crap in the world. There's a lot of things that we go through, and so I call them, as they call them, suck moments. Nobody wants to live in a suck moment. And so, you know, we find our big girl panties, or whatever, however you want to say, and we pick ourselves up and we take on the world. The world may try to take you down. It may try to tear you apart, whatever it is. You know, the internet, I always talk about that too. It's like the internet's great and it's really bad. You know, there's people that want to support you and say, hey, go girlfriend. Like, we love your eye makeup, your big hair, your this and your clothes and all that. But then there's people who are just like, why does she look like that? Why does she hold her head that way? Why does she, like, you know, and it's just like, dude, it takes so much effort to be me. Why? And didn't your parents ever teach you? You know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, yeah. You know? So it's just one of those songs that I thought, you know what? I want to make this a collaboration. And we reached out to Common. And he was all for it. He was so down for it. And like, he wrote his verse and it was so perfect. And just an incredible artist. And I think the two of us together, it really, you can feel the emotion. You can feel, and you know what? Like, he's been through shit. I've been through shit. And I think you feel that in the song too. And we want to make sure that people who are going through shit or crap in their life, that you're not alone. Common and I are here. But as like the Briniacs always say, and you know, when my dad passed away a couple years ago, and oh God, my brother just passed away too in a car accident. And my grandmother the day after, it's been a whirlwind of events.
Same. Sorry to
you. You know, Thank you. And you know, that's what rise comes from. You know, we pick ourselves up through all that crap in our lives and we get through it. And it's everybody around you. You know, it's that small town feel that I come from, or it's my Briniacs, that big family that, you know, when life puts the crap in front of you, it's like, you know, we're all here to pick each other up and get us through it. And then we're there to celebrate the good times too. And that's one of these songs that I hope that, you know, if somebody's going through a tough time, I know mental health is a really big thing and it's serious, and we want to make sure that people aren't alone and that they know that we're here, we're all here together, and we can get through this. And you put your best boots on and you rise to the occasion.
Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
And thanks for listening. Sorry, I get very emotional.
No, it's okay.
But I think that's what music's all about, too.
Life is a spectrum and rainbow of all emotions, so they're all welcome.
Amen to that.
You mentioned earlier that you throw things at the wall and sometimes things stick, like with Sam Felt. So in situations like that, and you're like, what? Huh? Obviously, there's a little bit of that imposter syndrome. You're like, really? How have you in the past felt experience imposter syndrome, and what suggestion would you give to others who sometimes feel it and don't know how to get out of their own way?
I guess because there's a lot of no in this business too. You know, I've never done drugs per se, and to me, this industry is like a drug. It's like, Laura, you want me? Come get me. And so like, I'll drink the Kool-Aid. Okay, I'm coming. But then, and then there's moments where you're like, they're like, now, and you're just like, and then it's like this big ass roller coaster of emotions. I mean, there's one moment you're crying and then it's like, oh my God, somebody called me back. Yes. Or like Sam Felt said, yes. It's like, oh my God. So there is that whole thing. And I sometimes will stand in front of the mirror and I will tell myself, cause you know, there's always the good and bad angel, or the good, the devil, the whatever you want to say. And one's like, I don't know. And then there's the angel like, you can. Yes, you can. I love that, the little engine that could. I'm just little Laura from a small town in Maryland. And I'm like, I'm going to do this, come hell or high water. And, you know, I sit there in the mirror. I'm like, you got this. And I do. I tell my Briniacs that too. You know, be yourself. Be the best you can be. Be so authentic, because people know when you're not. They Please. Know when you're lying, or you're trying to be somebody else, or trying to be something that you're not. I remember when my parents, you know, you're signing a deal and all of these things. And like, you know, my parents were like, you know, Lord, don't forget, you know, where you came from. Don't forget. There's always going to be somebody taller. There's always going to be somebody prettier. There's all, you know, all of these things. And, you know, is my hair big and curly? Sure. You know, and that's my thing. Do I have a big toothy smile? Yeah, I do. Do I love glitter eye makeup? I love all the girly things. You know, I love all that kind of stuff. Granted, we all have a little bit of, you know, in there. But you got to go in saying, you know, I'm the best me that I can be. And I have so much more to learn. I have a lot to learn. And I'm so excited to learn it. But I'm going with this. And this is what I know. And this is what I know how to do best. Take it or leave it.
So, Laura, what's coming up over the next period of time? I know a lot is secret in your world. What can you tell us? What is exciting? What can you announce?
Well, there's always secret stuff, but you know me, I have a really big mouth, as my parents always said, and that's got me into so much trouble. They're like, do you actually talk and sing with that thing? I was like, yeah, but you made it. Oh, we got so much fun stuff. We got shows. We've got lots more writing to do, which I'm really excited. I got some great more collaborations coming up. So really some news, some of oldies but goodies. So but definitely lots of shows. Wish List is coming out. Our big Christmas song that we always celebrate. We're so excited. It was top five. We're hoping for a number one. So
oh, yes.
Help us. Help us.
Yes.
Let the dream keep going. But yeah, now we're, I love, you know, music is, it's healing. It brings people together. I love the holidays. I love that we've got this song, and maybe we'll be writing some more Christmas songs in the future too. But yeah, there's a lot going on. We're hoping to be doing the Macy's Day Parade. We're hoping to do the Rose Parade. We'd love to come over and see you, Barrett.
Oh, yes. Hello. Absolutely.
I got miles. I give new meaning to fly to friendly skies. I know airports very well, Heathrow and Gatwick, all of the above. No, we're excited. You know, again, I'm so lucky. I'm so blessed, honored that I get to live this dream because there ain't no plan B. So, you know, this is what it is. Come hell or high water. I love it. And I thank you for getting my music out there and letting people know about me, because it's people like you who've let our dream flourish. So thank you for your time as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell us, what was the inspiration behind Wishlist?
Because I was delivered to my mom in a stocking on Christmas Day. It was 8 hours of labor. I was 8'6". It was 26 hours of labor. She's like, my mom's like, we'll never forget where we were on that day. And I was like, but the greatest gift came out. And my mom's like, yes, of course, Lauren. Yeah, so, you know, I love the holidays. And to me, it's a big time where my family, we all get together and celebrate being together and being family. And, you know, whether you celebrate with friends or family or whatever it may be, it's a time about being together and being thankful and grateful for the things we have. So I thought, you know what? I want to create a Christmas song. And I got together with Damon Sharp and Eric Santacola. And I thought, you know, I want it to be something fun, something that people can dance to. And yes, definitely, we were inspired by Miss Mariah Carey, by her song. So, and I love that it's something that, you know, I didn't want it to be sad, or I just wanted it to be something that you can definitely dance in the living room, or in the hallway, in the bathroom, at the mall. I've done all of those. But it's definitely a fun, uplifting song. And it seems, you know, people have been really, really responsive to it. They've been loving it. And they're like, oh, you know, this is such a fun song to add to my playlist for the Christmas holidays. So, you know, again, it's really one of those things that you just, when you write songs, you don't know what you have. Mm. You may think, oh, this is a great, you know, this is great, but you don't know what other people are going to think. And so it's just, it definitely is a pinchy moment. Like it, that we're hoping and praying that it becomes one of those Christmas classics that people will always keep in their arsenal. But yeah, it's definitely a dream come true.
Shout out, Damon Sharp is a friend to the podcast. We've interviewed him and he's a friend of mine. So he's absolutely awesome. So
so talented. Good God.
Oh yeah, totally. What do you enjoy about performing live?
It's like a drug. You love that feeling. I just love that feeling, being on stage and connecting, whether it's somebody all the way in the back row or somebody right in the front row. You know, we've played cafes, we've played arenas, we've played, you know, stadiums, all of the above. It's creating that magic night after night. And it is magic. It's that connection. It's such a feeling. Like, I've never done drugs, but if it's that feeling, I totally get it. It is such a high. And to see people singing your songs back to you, it just, you know, that's the whole piece of cake. You know, if you touch one person's heart, then I think I've done my job. And the fact that people listen and want to show up and be there, like, we were at a show this weekend and this couple drove like 3 hours. Like, and that's not round trip. So it's really 6 hours round trip to come see us play. And you're just like, you know, like you're so touched. And they're like, we weren't missing this for the world. And you're like, thank you so much. I can't even believe you're here. Again, like as a child, you think of this crazy dream and you don't know if it's a crazy dream. You want to sing, you want to entertain, you want to touch people, you want to make them have a happy day, or get them out of a yucky day, or whatever it may be. And here's somebody that drove 6 hours round trip to come see me. Like, to me, that's, I've made it.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's a journey or in a thank you exchange for all the hard work that you guys do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklets, listening to song from one to whatever number. I'm unsure if you're aware, you may or may not, massive uptick of physicals around the world. Last year, the year before in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products they gauge or monitor exchanges on. There needs to be a high number of traction each day for a product to be in the basket. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the younger kids that are diving into this world, not the older, in inverted commas, nostalgic people. Then we also have the streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
There's some good, some bad, you know, all of the above. As an artist, it gets, you know, gets your music out to some, to the masses with the streaming. And for the consumer, it's good because they can pick whatever song they want. You know, I, like you were talking about CDs, I would imagine that, you know, people would pick like two or three songs on the CD, so they'd, but they would still have to buy the CD. Hmm. Now they can go ahead and just get the two songs that they want. When really on the CD, there's songs on there, to me, some of the songs that don't make it out per se are some of the greatest gems.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, people like holding things. They like holding it and looking at it. And, you know, I always, now you have to go online to see comments from people or from the artist about what each song is about or whatnot, as opposed to, you know, seeing a booklet or a jacket or whatever you want to call it, you know, the thoughts of, from the artist or who they're thanking or different things. I would love to do that. I would love to sit there. I mean, I do it online, but I want everybody to know how appreciative I am from hair to makeup to the bus driver to the travel agent. To, I mean, there's a whole lot of people that go into Laura Brina. You know, it's not just me. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people. I may be the face and the voice, but there's so many people. It does take a village to make this thing happen. To me, I like hearing from artists and knowing like what's going through their head. Or as an up-and-coming artist myself, you know, it's nice to, oh, this is what Dolly may have gone through, or this is something Chris Stapleton experienced, or whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm you know what? I've been kind of feeling that too. The whole streaming thing, yes, it allows people to, you know, everybody's listening to all different kinds of music now too. So it's for artists to get their music out there and for people to really take it all in from all different styles of music. But it's harder for the artist too. So then to have a full album and really, you know, as upcoming artists, you know, you're putting out singles as opposed to albums, because then with social media, then you lose the rest of it. You just put it all out at one time because people have already heard it. It's a different thing with promotion and all that. It's a whole lot. Thank God other people handle that for me, because I'm just like, press it and send and handle it. I'm like, I have no idea. Give me an air dryer. I'm good. And some red lipstick. And I'm great. It's a lot. There's so much into that. Like, it really, it is a village that makes this whole dream happen. So, and I'm so grateful.
Laura, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening and for joining the Bryniacs. I so appreciate it. And thank you for letting me live this dream and for all your support. Please reach out on all the different social platforms. We got it all. It's Laura Bryna, LauraBryna. I'm the one that responds to all the comments. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if a certain song touches your heart or makes you feel something or whatever. I love hearing from everybody. But yeah, thank you so much, Ferret, for having me on and all your support. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.